Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Verses 1 through 13, Proverbs chapter 4. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a book full of wisdom from Genesis to Revelation, wisdom that will guide us, empower us, bless us, and strengthen us as we follow you and live as kingdom warriors in this world today. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace so that with every passing day, more and more, we'll grow in our hunger for your word and our commitment to be hearers and bold doers of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're encouraged that we can boldly come before your throne today because of Jesus Christ, because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ as followers of Jesus. Father, we pray for the broadcast today. We pray that our listeners will hear what you have to say to them. We thank you for them. We pray for them and all their different issues, whether it's financial issues or relationship issues or not having a relationship with you, Father. If that's the case, we pray that you would work in their hearts even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And just a reminder to you once again, AFA at the Core is a brand new show on American Family Radio, and this new show is focused on the values that have framed every part of the American Family Association from its inception, including the work, the kingdom works of evangelism, discipleship, marriage and family, morality, sanctity of human life, stewardship, and religious liberty. Walker Wildman, AFA's Vice President of Operations and Public Policy Analyst, will host the new show. Again, AFA at the Core will highlight the issues of the day. AFA at the Core heard weekdays at 105 Central on American Family Radio, and podcasts are available at afr.net. Just a continued reminder, too, is we're continuing the Ten Commandments Project speech project, and of course, we're grateful for all the young people that have participated so far in shared speeches. We're going to hear a speech from a young lady that's 8.5 years old. Her name is Riley, and so let's hear from Riley now.
My name is Riley, and I am 8.5 years old. I live in North Carolina and will be in third grade. My favorite Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. This is my favorite because God has done so much for me. God has answered my prayers. He has healed me when I have been hurt. He has made me wonderful. God has protected me and my family during the pandemic. He protects us when we travel. He has a perfect plan for me, and he loves when I worship him. There is no other God that can do these things. My God can do anything.
Amen. Amen. A beautiful speech by 8.5-year-old Riley. From North Carolina. Well, there's still time. We have at least a couple more weeks before July 31st. If you have a young person that would like to do a speech and present it, all we need is them to use their phone to make a videotape of them sharing their Ten Commandments speech, and we can enter them in the contest. I hope that you hope that we can and will hear from you. Again, the Ten Commandments Project. For more information about it, email me at jparker@afa.net. We're blessed to have as our guest in this first segment, Dan Zeidler. He's the president of the Family Life Council. Dan, how are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. Fine, thank you.
Great to have you on today, and an honor to have you on. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to a little bit further introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit more about you and the Family Life Council.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you very much, Pastor, for the invitation. It's a blessing to be on your program.
Yes, sir.
I've been involved in the pro-life and pro-family movement for a long, long time, and done a lot of different things through our organization, Family Life Council, which is based here in Wisconsin, but we operate all over the country, and especially we've been active for a long time in Latin America to promote an appreciation of the precious gift of life and family and to promote God's plan for life and love. And we do that through all kinds of different activities. But the one this morning that you and I had agreed that we would mention is the importance of talking with young children mm-hmm. about the preciousness of life and how much God loves them and that. And so I have a little story that you asked me to share, and mm-hmm. Would now be the time to get into that then right away?
Yes, please do. And just to further share, it's a great tool that Brother Dan has introduced, a tool that's a great tool to help parents share wisdom with their children. So, yes, please go right ahead.
Okay. It's entitled A Precious Conversation with Your Child. When it seems to you that the subject might interest your young son or daughter, sit down on the sofa with your child at your side, ready to tell him or her a story. You say, Sammy or Jenny, I'm going to tell you a story, the story of your life. Sammy, who created the world with all the mountains, the oceans, the sun, stars? And Sammy responds, well, Daddy, you know God created the world. And then, very good, Sammy, you're right. And before he created the world and those gigantic mountains, God was thinking of you. He wanted you to come into existence. And before putting the sun high in the sky, he was thinking of you. He loved you. He wanted to share his life with you, to love you and receive your love too. And much, much later, just at the right time, he created you. Your life began. You were so small at the beginning that neither mommy nor I knew that you were there, beginning to grow in a special place inside mommy's body. Then no one could see you except God. You were so small, just like a tiny fish in the deepest part of the sea. No one sees him, but he's there. Or like a little star far, far away in the sky. It is so far away that no one sees it, but it is there. You were growing and growing, and one day, Mommy found out that you were there in that special place inside of her. She was so excited, and when she told me, both of us became very happy. We were full of love for you and very grateful to God for giving us the precious gift which you are. Your little body was getting bigger and your tiny heart began to beat. Your little legs and arms were growing and your tiny fingers were forming. Look at these pictures. Aren't they neat? And by these pictures, they can be any kind of beautiful illustrations of the child before birth at the various stages. And we have something that we can share with people that are interested in a sample of that. But the philosophy behind this, I'm stopping now in terms of the story, but in this way, with this kind of an approach, and with more simple explanations and illustrations of the, you know, all the way to the day of birth, The child learns how he grew and developed and how his mom took care of him during all that time, all within a context of love. It seems to me that the most significant aspect of this approach is how it explains how much God loved your child since before the creation of the world, and he continues loving him. This approach explains the child's life in the context of a loving God. When a mother, I believe when a mother or father talks to their child with such affection and with this kind of focus, a parent-child connection with God is created that gives real meaning to life and is a great influence and reference for the child's whole life. This method gives parents a practical vocabulary, like you said, Pastor, a tool to communicate valuable things to their children, establishing a basis for all of life, that they are created by and for God, who loves them infinitely. Parents can use this vocabulary and this approach as a way to build on many aspects and moments of the child's journey through all of life, not just at this particular day when you relate this story. A child who experiences this will have a powerful spiritual foundation for his or her entire life and will grow up knowing that he or she is loved not only by their parents, but also by God, their creator, the one who gave them life. So, Pastor, that's kind of the basis, the idea of this. It's just a little tool, just some suggested vocabulary and wording that parents can use to sit down with their child and to relate this story about how precious they were before birth, how they grew a little bit, show them perhaps a few of these beautiful illustrations, which are very appropriate, and but all within this context of God created them, and he was thinking of them since before the creation of the world. I just think it gives a child a beautiful appreciation.
Well, thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate you sharing that. And share with our listeners your website if they want to download the letter or of this tool. Share them with the website they need to go to in order to download it.
Sure. It's www.forlifeforfamily.org. But when it's www.4family.org/conversation. If they go to that address, they can download the can read and download this message, these suggestions, and we can, you know, if they want, they can contact us, and we can send them this little brochure, which we don't have time to go over to. It's called Watch Me Grow. It has these beautiful little illustrations that you can show to the child as you're, you know, explaining this and reading this little story.
Okay.
And they can do that through the website, or they can contact us by our phone number. Can I give our phone number out?
Yes, sir.
It's 414-218-3769. That's 414-218-3769, and we'd be happy to send them one of these brochures free, and also the precious conversation suggestions.
Okay, and the letter is entitled A Precious Conversation with Your Child.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate that. And I could see if someone reading it in the context along with Genesis chapter 1 or any of a number of passages that beautifully help dovetail with that message as well. But thank you, Dan, for coming on and sharing about this wonderful tool, okay?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you. Again, that was Dan Zeidler, the president of the Family Life Council, sharing about A Precious Conversation with Your Child, a wonderful tool for you to use with your children. We'll be right back.
Mountains to fall upon their knees. You're You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. You are amazing.
The music of Lincoln Brewster, More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Before I introduce our guest for the balance of the broadcast, I want to share a passage that I think speaks powerfully to a critical issue for the body of Christ to be looking at. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah, and he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us as believers of being able to hear your word and hear your heart and to be ambassadors for your kingdom who stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and boldly stand for life as well. Lord, help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive that which you desire to say to us. And the things you're calling us to do, help us to recognize it and to boldly walk in obedience to doing what you'd have us to do in the way of being witnesses for your kingdom and witnesses who stand boldly for life. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, for the balance of our broadcast, our phone guest is Mark Lee Dixon. He's the director of East Texas Right for Life. Mark, how are you today?
Doing great.
That's good. Good to have you on today. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself. And then we're going to be talking about a specific project that you have had the chance to help initiate. But tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, my name's Mark Lee Dixon, of course. I've been a director with Right for Life of East Texas for over 10 years now. And we've been doing a lot of different work. Of course, we've always been involved in a fair booth at our local Gregg County Fair and just getting the word out that life starts at conception. And we've been having banquets for years and different community events, and we've also been involved in something called the Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn Initiative, and that has seen 30 cities in Texas, 2 cities in Nebraska, and 1 city in Ohio pass enforceful ordinances which outlaw abortion within their city limits.
Hmm. Now, the project, again, is entitled the Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you're going to tell us the story of how that got started. So if you would, please share that powerful story.
Well, it all started when I was on the sidewalk of an abortion facility in Shreveport, Louisiana. Now, the reason I was over in Shreveport is Longview is where we're based out of, and the closest surgical and medical abortion facility is across the Texas-Louisiana border, about an hour east of Longview, and that's in Shreveport, Louisiana. And at this abortion facility, it's called Hope Medical Group for Women. A horrible name for an abortion facility. Mm-hmm. And they would perform 50 abortions on Saturdays, 20 abortions on Tuesdays, and 30 abortions on Thursdays. So a total of about 100 abortions a week. And we'd be out there on a regular basis just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and encouraging women to just trust in the Lord with all their heart and not lean on their own understanding that, that has brought them there, but to acknowledge the Lord and He would direct their path away from there. So we'd encourage them that they could be a great mother to that child. If we'd offer any kind of services, if they need a place to live, food, clothing. We wanted to do everything we could to help them out. And so we saw a number of lives saved, and there was one person we were reaching out to there that had mentioned that there was some chatter about it possibly shutting down. And when I heard that that abortion facility may shut down, there were, it was just this awkward feeling because, you know, I should be excited, I should be leaping for joy, but I was just a little concerned. And I got to thinking about an article which I'd read in some of my research, and this article was in the early 90s, but I'd come across it, and this article had mentioned that someone down in the Houston, Texas area had pledged land and a building to that abortion facility over in Texas. And abortion restrictions were tightening in Louisiana, and so the idea was if abortion was ever shut down in Louisiana, they would cross the border to a little place called Wascom, Texas, population 2,189. And so very small community of Wascom, and they didn't want an abortion facility there. I knew they wouldn't want an abortion facility there. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to the mayor of Wascom, and how I even got to reach out to him, I was wrestling with, you know, Lord, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? And the straw that broke the camel's back was a passage in Amos 5:15. And that passage said to hate evil, to love good, and to establish justice within the city gates. And perhaps the Lord, the God of hosts, be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And so that passage was on my heart heavily. I felt like I had to reach out to the mayor of Wascom, and I did so, and he asked, what can we do? And it just rolled off my tongue. I said, you need to pass an ordinance outlawing abortion within city limits. And Mayor Jesse Moore said, expedite me that ordinance. And so ended up at that point, that's when I realized this hadn't been done before. And with some amazing help, and we saw the abortion ban pass in the city of Wascom, and Wascom became the first city in the nation to outlaw abortion within their city limits. And then from there, we saw city after city hate evil, love good, and establish justice within their city gates by saying that babies will never be murdered in their city.
And so how many cities as of now have established such an ordinance that you know, that you're aware of?
Well, I've been involved in every city that's done so far here in the United States. And so we have 33 cities total. There's 30 here in Texas. There are two in Nebraska, and there's one in Ohio. We've got several others in other states that are looking at moving forward in the coming months. Our smallest city right now is the city of Ackerley, Texas. Their population's 251. And our largest city right now is the city of Lubbock, which is 264,000 people. So Lubbock is the largest. And, you know, here in Texas, everything's bigger, right? And so a lot of us here in Texas look at Lubbock as, yes, it's only the 11th largest city in Texas. You know, it's not even top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about that is when we look at most of the states across America, Lubbock is larger than the largest city in a whole multitude of those states.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lubbock is actually the 83rd largest city in the United States. And so, you know, we're really excited to see this movement continue to spread. And it doesn't matter if the city is small, like Leona, Texas, is looking at this right now. Their population's 190.
Mm-hmm.
They would be the new smallest if they passed this ordinance. You know, and then also Edinburgh, Texas, is looking at this. And Mason, Ohio, is looking at this. And, you know, those cities are, Edinburgh's over 100,000. Mason is over 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
South Lebanon is 6,000-7,000. Slayton, Texas, is about 6,000-7,000. They're looking at this. So cities of all shapes and sizes, and you know, just all across the United States, they're considering this, and this is a good thing for cities to consider. It's all connected to this idea of we got to protect our communities. Scripture calls us to be the watchmen in our community to make sure things don't come into our community that bring harm to the residents.
Mm-hmm.
And abortion brings a lot of harm.
That's right.
Why we need to keep it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mark, I want to ask this question. Like, there may be someone who's listening who's thinking to themselves, well, that's nice and that cities pass ordinances, but what good does that really do? Share with our listeners why it's significant for a city to take such a step.
Well, I think it's an issue of obedience to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a Christian, that's my authority.
Mm-hmm.
That when I wake up in the morning, I know that I do not live for myself, but I live as someone who is walking under the commands of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That God has called us to be a light to the world. God has put us here on mission.
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture is clear on this issue. We can't ignore Amos 5:15. In fact, as I go throughout the United States, the one thing I say to every city council is Amos 5:15. And
mm-hmm.
any kind of group I'm speaking with about this project, I always tell them, look, if you remember one thing that I've said, even to the listeners of this radio program, my words, my experiences, they don't match up the weight of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God by itself stands mighty.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just grasp Amos 5:15 today from this program, if that's the only thing they walk away with, they've walked away with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Amos 5:15 says to hate evil, love good, establish justice within the city gates. It doesn't say at your state capital or your nation's capital, although those are good things, it
mm-hmm.
says within your city gates.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the Lord, the God of hosts, be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. All throughout Scripture, we've seen this reality that God cares about the cities. And
mm-hmm.
God wants us to care about our city. God wants us to get involved in what's happening in our city to make sure that our city is a city of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
of law and order. God is not honored when cities let their police stations burn. God is
mm-hmm.
not honored when cities declare gay pride parades and gay pride celebrations. God is not honored when cities allow abortion facilities to come in, set up shop, and murder children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to do everything that we can to... We've got an administration right now that has said, Biden administration said earlier this year that they want to see abortion access in every zip code. They're coming to knock on our doors. They're coming to put abortion in our zip code. And so how is that going to work? Is that a brick-and-mortar abortion facility? I don't think it is. I think it's more reasonable to think that we're talking about the abortion pill here. We're talking about RU486, which they're trying to deregulate so they can do abortion pill by mail. And we've got to push back on that. We cannot let this radical administration push a satanic agenda of killing innocent children made in the image of God. And that's what this is about. This is about the image of God. We're every single person on this earth is made in the image of God. And the enemy is wanting to do everything he can to destroy humanity. That's why we've got to push back. We've got to say that not on our watch.
Mark, I'm going to jump in here, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break. Our phone guest at this on this broadcast is Mark Lee Dixon. He is the director of East Texas Right to Life. We'll be right back. Toby Mack, it's you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Mark Lee Dixon. He's the director of East Texas Right to Life. And Mark, as we begin this final segment, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for listeners to have ears to hear what the Lord would have them to do to, you know, as they hear you share about this powerful project, what they need to listen for, whatever God would have them to do with this project as it relates to their own city and their own community. So would you pray for them and pray for the church as well?
Absolutely. Father God, I just ask that you just give these listeners who are hearing the words that we're saying right now, that give them that love for their city that you have. Let them see the reality of Amos 5:15, the need for them to hate evil, love good, and establish justice within their city gate. And may they desire your blessings to be poured out on their city. And may they do their due diligence to see what it would take to see abortion outlawed in their city. And God, I just thank you so much for those listeners and just the work that you're already doing right there in their city. In precious and holy name, let me pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So
thank you.
One thing in that, so people are wondering, well, what do we do to see abortion outlawed in our community? Maybe they're already sold that they need to do this in their community. And we don't go into any community unless there is a great amount of interest in that community. And so what we ask people to do is we encourage them to go to our website, www.sanctuarycitiesfortheunborn.com, and sign the online petition. Now, when they sign the online petition, that's going to let us know that there's someone in Camden, Tennessee that's interested in seeing abortion outlawed within their city limits. It's going to let us know that there's someone in Naples, Florida that wants to see this done, that there's someone in Santa Fe or Dickinson, Texas that wants to see this done. And so wherever that person lives, when they sign that petition, we're going to see that. Mm-hmm. And what we want to see is we want to see tons of signatures from a certain area before we commit to go into that area. Every ordinance which is drafted specifically for that city. We discourage people from going before their city council without the necessary documents. Mm-hmm. This is a process that, you know, we take it seriously. Mm-hmm. We do our research and we make sure who is the city attorney, where does the city attorney stand here. We had a city here recently in Texas. We've been working 2 years in this area of Texas, in Centerville, Texas. Well, early on, we had some pushback from the attorney. Seemed to hit a roadblock, and we couldn't tell why. And of course, we've learned a lot of lessons in the past. Since June 11th was when the first city passes of 2019, and what we realized was that the city attorney was actually in bed with Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Centerville is a city of 888 people. Mm-hmm. Not a massive metropolis, but their city attorney was connected to Planned Parenthood. In fact, their city attorney is currently married to the former board chair of Planned Parenthood in Texas, mm-hmm. one of the top three abortion leaders in the state. Mm-hmm. And so that was really concerning. Of course, he's going to be against this ordinance. Mm-hmm. And so we did everything that we could to rally the community. We spoke to the churches. We let them know that this is not just a walk in the park, that there are people that are in the ears of the council members that are going to be against this. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be very careful how they word things. And, you know, they may encourage city council members, look, you don't want to violate your oath to uphold and preserve and defend the Constitution, do you? And, you know, they won't. People who believe that abortion is a constitutional right, they're going to push those beliefs onto everyone. They're going to try to convince council members that they're doing something unconstitutional for standing against abortion, when in reality, it's very constitutional to stand against abortion.
That's right.
That mm-hmm. here, nowhere in the Constitution do we see a right to abortion.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And there are, then they'll bring up, you know, well, you may get sued and all the that kind of verbiage that just causes people to kind of stand back a little. And that's why we give a letter from an attorney that says he'll represent the city at no cost to city and taxpayers if they pass the version of the ordinance which we put forward. Mm-hmm. And so we're very careful about that. And in that whole process, you know, there was a time we've seen some lawsuits and we've come out victorious in those lawsuits. But at one time, our first lawsuit, the ACLU sued 7 cities in East Texas. Mm-hmm. Well, during that time of that lawsuit, there was a mayor of a city in West Texas, and that city was called Whiteface. Population 499. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to me and she said, Mark, I couldn't sleep last night. The Lord was really putting something heavy on my heart. I feel like Whiteface needs to pass this ordinance outlawing abortion. Mm-hmm. And she said, I got to thinking, you know, what would God do if we didn't pass this ordinance? And so I said, well, Mayor, her name's Mayor Judy Devers, and I said, Mayor Devers, do you understand that the ACLU has sued 7 cities in East Texas? Are you aware of that? And she said, I'm well aware of that. And I said, and you still want to pass an ordinance outlawing abortion? And she said, yes. And I said, so what you're saying is you fear God more than the ACLU. And she said, exactly. And so Whiteface ended up passing that ordinance. And it's very interesting because there was only one person who spoke in opposition to that ordinance that night when it was presented. And the only person who spoke in opposition to that ordinance was a Mormon lady who wanted to open up a women's clinic in Whiteface, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I think abortion access would be great here in this city.
Hmm.
And so when I heard that, it sent chills down my spine for several reasons. One, the fact that someone who is planning on opening up a women's clinic was actually thinking that abortion would be great for that area. And two, maybe this is why God kept the mayor up that night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God specifically was calling this mayor to pass this ordinance to protect the city of Whiteface from what this person was planning on doing. And so, you know, all the time, you know, I tell people, if the Lord is speaking to you, if the Lord is telling you to go to some place to share the gospel, like he did many times to me, you know, the sidewalk of the abortion facility. I didn't want to get up on a Saturday morning. I wanted to watch cartoons, you know. But God told me to go to that sidewalk and to proclaim the gospel. Well, what if we weren't obedient to God? You know, what would have happened? What would have happened if the mayor of Whiteface, Texas, was not obedient to the Lord? There might be an abortion facility in her community.
That's right.
So it's always, that's the most important thing here. We've got to obey the Lord. And the Word of God's clear. Hate evil, love good, establish justice within your city gate. And perhaps the Lord, the God of hosts, be gracious on the remnant of Joseph. We obey the Word of God.
You know, Marcus, our time is just about completely gone. If someone who is listening wants to get in touch with you and is interested in pursuing this for their city or their community, again, how do they find that information?
They can go online to sanctuarycitiesfortheunborn.com and sign the online petition. We ask everyone to go through the petition. If they are a mayor or a council member who are listening right now and their heart has been tugged and they feel like, hey, this is something the Lord is calling me to do. And I just want to encourage those elected officials, open up Amos 5:15, read it again, pray over it, and then sign the online petition just like everyone else. But in the additional comments, tell me that you're a mayor of the city you're in. Tell me you're a city council member of the city you're in. And I will reach out and we'll get this done in your city.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so this ordinance would apply to, for example, individual doctors and offices that do abortions, then this would apply to them as well, right?
Right. So this ordinance immediately, every ordinance we've done, it's specifically set to those cities, but it bans abortion and it bans the aiding and abetting of abortion. So it's not just the abortionists we're going after, but anyone who assists the abortionist.
Mm-hmm.
And so this does not penalize the mother of the unborn child, but it penalizes the abortionist. It penalizes anyone who's assisting the abortionist.
Mm-hmm.
It also penalizes anyone who's paying for the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. anyone who's driving someone to the abortion, that we're treating abortion as murder. We're mm-hmm. treating it as the taking of an innocent life made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
that's what we have to do. We've got to be serious about how long has it been, and what are we seeing in our culture? We're seeing the 2D, 3D, 4D ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. We're hearing the heartbeat. We can't ignore this any longer, and I'm just so thankful that there is an uprising of people that are saying enough is enough, that we okay. cannot see this continue in our land.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks so much for being with us today, and as we draw our program to a close today, as usual, if there's someone listening, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to make that all-important step because, of course, Jesus really is the answer to everything. If you're not saved and you desire to be saved and commit your life to the Lord, would you simply pray this prayer with me if you'd like to make that all-important step in your life? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong. I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you, please do email me at jparker@afa.net. We'd like to hear from you and to share with you some discipleship material that will help you. Mark, again, thank you so much. Share your website one more time with our listeners.
It is www.sanctuarycitiesfortheunborn.com.
All right. Thanks, Mark, for coming on and sharing about this powerful project. We appreciate it, all right?
Thank you.
All right. Please pray much for Mark and the ministry of East Texas Right to Life as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.